Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
What's up, everybody? Episode 339 of the flagship Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty here with Justin Joint, Jesse Velasquez, to talk a little AEW Dynasty and maybe a little WrestleMania 41. Rumors floating around tonight as we record on that one as well. Justin Joint, how are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. I have a question for you guys that is non-wrestling related, but let's do the intros and whatnot before I ask that question.
Okay. Making me wonder a little bit here. Well, let me ask you this. What is in the glass tonight?
I am sipping on a beer that the first time I had it, I thought it was just okay, but it has grown on me to the point where I just went and bought a new six pack. And I'm glad it's growing on me because it is Top Rope IPA. Maybe someday it could be the official beer of Top Rope Nation. Unfortunately, I think it's out of brand. Somewhere weird like Kansas. Yeah, Wichita, Kansas. So,
what's the brewery again?
Is it
like Tall Grass?
Wichita Brewing Co. It says Tall Grass Brewing Co. on top of that. So
that's what I was thinking. I've had some of their beers, not that one though.
It's good, not bad.
Yeah, nice. Well, Jesse Velasquez, how are you doing this fine Thursday evening?
Top rope, catch a vibe, pressure points, pressure. I'm in the rig, you won't survive, and I swerve when I drive.
Things are moving at the speed of light, so it's been a week.
Are we thinking you're going to hear that at the close of Dynasty? Are we going to have a new world champion? Not to put you on the spot already, but I feel like you're leaning in.
I see 11 viewers. We want to keep that number. I'll let you know later.
Relate that merit here. I want that marinade. Anything in the glass for you?
Sadly, no. I have to be up very, very early tomorrow morning judging competition. So we're the next stage of the age group quarterfinals and regular CrossFit quarterfinals. So no, I am not drinking tonight, sadly. Drink for me, please.
Done.
Okay. I suppose. I got Russell's Reserve 10-year bourbon. It's pretty good stuff. My uncle recommended this to me about a year ago and I had a hard time finding it, but we actually get it around here now and it's good stuff. I might have had it once, I think maybe one other time on the pod. I can't remember, but yeah, I really enjoy it.
Are you willing to divulge the price point out of curiosity?
I think it's about $35-ish.
Oh, that's
$35.
Bad.
Yeah, it's not okay. Maybe 40 tops. 35, 40, mm-hmm. Something like that.
Okay. So it's kind of just in that Elijah Craig range then. Maybe
yeah.
A pinch more.
Yeah, maybe like a little bit more, but yeah, not too much more. That's good stuff.
Good to know.
I had to mule this back from Chicago when I bought it, and I think this is the bottle I got in Chicago, but I've seen it at our local spot, Justin, now. They have it on the bottom shelf in the bourbon aisle.
I recently watched a really good jail movie where they had to confiscate stuff in their buttholes. I'm hoping that wasn't your situation.
The old smuggle job.
Oh, God. Now, on that note, what's your other question, Justin?
Well, it's kind of in the same vein. I was just curious. Oh,
wait a second. Oh. The same vein as smuggling. Oh, my God.
So I'm just curious, have you guys been watching anything outside of wrestling? Because everything I've been watching has been pretty depressing. Very good, but very depressing. And I'm not talking about, you know, up until this most recent Dynamite, all the previous Dynamites leading up to this pay-per-view. I watched Quiet on the Set, which is a Max.
Oh, no.
But
I've heard about it. I haven't watched it. Yeah.
It was good. Very disturbing. I'd recommend it if you kind of have a strong stomach to hear that kind of stuff. But, and then also I am rewatching what I think might be the greatest documentary of all time. Not The Last Dance, that is up there, but I am rewatching the OJ Made in America doc that is on Netflix. It is just one of the best things I've ever watched. It just lays out everything perfectly, but you know, all the evidence as to why it was so obvious that he did murder Nicole and Mr. Goldman, but also all the reasons and how it was just a perfect storm of how he got off.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to throw out those recommendations. Oh, and me and the wife are currently watching Fallout 2, the new Fallout movie on Amazon or TV show.
That is very good. I've heard it's real good. That's on the list. I've been watching For All Mankind. I think I told you that, Justin. It's on Apple.
Yeah, on Apple.
It's really good. I'm about done with season 2 right now. It's good stuff.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to be getting Apple here soon because I want to watch that Steve Martin documentary. We still have to watch, I think, the last season of Ted Lasso. So maybe when we get that, I'll check that out.
You would dig this one for sure. 100%. Okay. Jesse, you been watching anything outside of pro wrestling?
I wish. The Masters last weekend. Outside of that, I read for like 15, 20 minutes a night. I'm one of those. So
Yeah,
it's either pro wrestling or bust for me at this point. And again, Masters last weekend, NBA playoffs this weekend.
Yeah, buddy.
Justin's going to be the Bulls and Celtics. You know what's going to happen. Not that the Bulls have any chance.
But
I think they're going to beat Miami because
you would hope so out. With Jimmy being out. Yeah. Ryan, can you watch golf on TV?
I like watching golf. I used to play golf a lot. And then my first child was born and I never have time anymore, but I used to golf quite a bit. I was never very good. I just liked to golf. So I like watching.
Oh man, it is one of the most brutal things in the world for me to watch. I love tagging along with my buddies when they go golfing and just, you know, drinking beer while riding in the golf cart. But man, I just cannot watch it on TV.
Majors are worth it. Those are pretty much the only ones I will watch on Sunday. So Masters, PGA, the Open, which is Father's Day weekend, great present for us, and then the British Open.
Oh, that reminds me. My buddy Tony, who you guys have met, who lives up in Minneapolis, he was at the Masters. And
I know someone that was there too. That's wild.
I had to give him shit because the plan was that just in case he ended up on TV, he has a Naz Reid shirt that just says Nas all over it. So he was going to wear that, you know, for love of Naz Reid and the guy who wore took the poster, your buddy, to WrestleMania. But apparently his wife gave him enough shit that he ended up wearing just a collared button up or something. Mm.
I am rooting hard for a T-Wolves Celtics finals just so this show can explode.
Man. Holy shit. I don't think I could handle it.
Unreal. Look, we're not kidding anybody. The Bulls have no chance. I haven't even watched a full Bulls game this entire season. I don't really care.
Can't blame
you. Team needs to be blown up. But for you two, that would be amazing. Oof. So I'm pretty much all in on the T-Wolves at this point for basketball.
Nice.
David Pickett, if you're listening or watching, hi. And this is probably what, the 1,275th time you've been mentioned the last 3 weeks?
Well, you know, so my buddy Jeremy Loss, who I do the BR shows with a lot, he was also at the Masters. He's from up there in the cities too, Jesse. And he was there too. So, I mean, he said, you know, when you see the course on TV, it looks immaculate. You know, and that in person, it looks just like on TV. It's just unreal what that course looks like in person. It would be cool to go. Maybe someday. Guys, you are seeing the names across the bottom of the screen right now. And that is our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/toprope nation. If you want bonus content from Top Rope Nation, if you want access to our 3-hour WrestleMania 18 deep dive where Jay Schmitz guested with us the other night, you guys got to get on the Patreon page. There are almost 150 bonus shows on there, near weekly editions of Jesse's show, TRN Unplugged going up as well, occasional episodes of TRN Extra. We got virtual meetups. We got free stickers we can send you in the mail, quarterly merchandise drawings. Read all about it. The link is in the broadcast description. I just finished, as you guys well know, listening to the latest edition of TRN Unplugged with our friend Michael Jenkinson, who I got to say did a great job on that show. Now, I didn't agree with all of his football takes, but outside of that, it was a great discussion. I think, Michael has been on the flagship a number of times too, but I always enjoy listening to him. He's done Unplugged several times, and you guys always have great banter back and forth, Jesse.
And his dad is a baseball historian.
Yes,
how cool is that?
I didn't know that either. Throw it out there right now on the main feed. Michael Jenkinson, good friend of the show. His dad has written a book on baseball. Let's promote it. Do you remember what it was called?
Ultimate Baseball Power by Bill Jenkinson. You can find it on Amazon.com. Apparently what he is known for is his specialty, measuring tape measure shots. We're talking like 500-600 feet. He keeps track of those, evidently.
How do they do that?
Ask him.
Okay, I will.
No clue. Yeah. That was a great show. If you're on Patreon, check it out. This week's TRN Unplugged. Good stuff. All right. This weekend, Sunday night, AEW Dynasty, St. Louis, Missouri. I got to say, you guys, I mean, I think AEW television has been a little up and down weekly. This week was phenomenal for the most part. These go home shows, they always knock it out of the park. And this card on paper, I mean, we say this almost every time, is like it could be an all timer. This is a unbelievable card going in. We've got possibly, as we talked about a minute ago, a new world champion could be crowned. One of the most popular stars in the promotion, maybe getting his first championship victory. We got a kind of a dream match with Ospreay and Danielson, could be a match of the year contender. You know, Bucks and FTR in a ladder match, I'm sure will be phenomenal. I'm very much looking forward to this show. Hype level, you know, a little bit different for me because I will be witnessing it in person. And I'm super pumped for that. But Jesse, what's your hype level on this show?
Okada and Pac.
Mm-hmm.
A couple women's matches in there. I'm trying to think of the rest. And then they, by the way, with about a minute left, they decide to sneak in that infographic of Hook and Jericho to drop my grade to about an 8.5.
Those dicks.
So on that one, real quick, because he texted me about our friend Jay that was on Classics, Jay Schmitz. Me and him were talking about this earlier today. And he said, you know, if they would have just put that on the pre-show and swapped in the Trios title match there, it'd be like a perfect card. What do we need? This match should not be on the main show, Hook and Chris Jericho. It absolutely should not be.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, especially when there's such, you know, quote unquote high stakes with that Trios match.
Yeah.
This is a debut pay-per-view, too. I mean, this is the first time a Dynasty's ever taken place. That's exactly why Chris Jericho shoehorned his way onto this card. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 8.5 out of 10. I mean, obviously, it's very top-heavy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what cards are built on.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not where I'm going to be by the time this show starts. This week's Dynamite did a lot to help me out, but man, those previous Dynamites were so rough, and just all the discourse around it. I mean, how many times I had to hear guys in ring giving promos, just saying AEW over and over again. And then we had the Punk footage last week. It all seemed so distracting from what they should have been focusing on. And that's this show. And it finally seemed like this past episode they focused in and delivered. I mean, especially the last 30 minutes of that Dynamite was just phenomenal. But yeah, Mike's, I'm up there probably close to Jesse right now, around an 8 or so. But I'm sure by the time we get to showtime, I'll be at a 10, because I mean, Danielson, Ospreay, yes please. You know, the chance of possibly seeing Swerve crown champ. Yes, please. And the entire undercard, there's really not much on there that I want to miss. It's going to be real hard to decide when to walk away to take a bathroom break during this show.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, we got two matches as of right now, two matches on the kickoff or the pre-show, and nine matches on the main card. I think they've been going about 3.5 to 4 hours lately, right? Not counting the kickoff.
Right, about 3:55.
Yeah. So I mean it should end by 11 Central Time. But yeah, I mean it is this card is stacked. And I thought, yeah, for the most part, they developed, you know, on the go home everything pretty well. I do think it feels like the world title match is missing something a little bit. I don't know. Like I loved the double foot stomp dive that Swerve did at the close of the show.
That was amazing. That was perfectly filmed too. Great
movie. Yeah. That was unreal. And I think, you know, for the most part, Swerve's been really good still. And Joe, what we've talked about, has exceeded our expectations as world champion. It just feels like, you know, the Page feud was so good. Mm-hmm. That Swerve is just like the hype train on Swerve has taken a little bit of a step back. Not that he's not still super over. I mean, the crowd was still chanting like crazy for him, mm-hmm. but it does feel like the build for this match is just felt like something's missing a little bit. I think with that in mind, you got to do the title change. I guess we could just start here naturally, just talking about this. I mean, it feels like if Swerve doesn't win the world title here, like where do you go with him? You know, and even maybe where you go with Joe. I don't know. It feels like you got to do it, Justin.
Yeah, I feel the same way as you. It does feel like there's just something missing from it, and I can't quite put my finger on what it is. And that is why I'm a little nervous that they might not pull the trigger with Swerve on this show, because the story that Joe is driving home is that Swerve is a choke artist. And I could see a scenario where, you know, they have one of their biggest shows of the year coming up in a month at Double or Nothing, that maybe Joe cheats or does something to come out the victor in this match. And then we're going to get Swerve and Joe again at Double or Nothing, where it will have, you know, another month of build and then maybe some sort of stipulation or something. Now, on the flip side of that is, this is your first ever Dynasty pay-per-view, and you kind of want to, you know, do something special with it. Their last first one ever, World's End, we got a title switch. So I would be a little surprised if they didn't do that here, especially because it's called Dynasty. You would think, you know, this is the beginning of Swerve's Dynasty. Now, granted, that also happened to be the name of a stable that a certain individual that goes by the name of Max had years and years ago. So I'm a little divided. I hope beyond hope that they pull the trigger now just to give him that extra month of, you know, a title reign. Cause I think we all assume that if he does win it, probably going to lose it to Will Ospreay at All In. But I'm also not going to hold my breath, cause I do see that alternate scenario where they wait one more month.
If you guys are in the chat, let us know your thoughts, whether you're on Twitter, we're streaming right now on Twitch, YouTube, of course. Let us know who you think is going to win the world title match. Jesse, throw it to you.
I'll say that the closing angle 2 weeks ago with Joe and Swerve saved that Dynamite for how bad it was or how below average it was. With
the contract signing?
Oh, yes. Swerve signing it in blood. Joe getting strangled by the chain and just powering himself out of it, making him look dominant. I love that part. And then last night, of course. So no, Swerve. We're going Swerve. Yeah, I think you have to. You can't delay this. I don't really see a scenario where he can come back at Double or Nothing and do it. I think it would just, you're just delaying the inevitable at this point. And maybe there is a shot that you could delay a Swerve Ospreay to later on down the road, even past All In too, and give Swerve a lengthier run. I think the first 2 to 3 months are going to be a telltale sign of where this title run's going to go. If he becomes the guy and he skyrockets and keeps that title elevating like Samoa Joe did. So if Swerve can take that ball and continue to run with it, maybe that'll cause Tony Khan to change his plans. But I I truly believe that this is the time right now. Put the belt on the first African American, hopefully, to hold the AEW World title. Swerve Strickland.
So I got to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident, where are you at on how confident you feel that Swerve's going to be holding that title at the end of Dynasty?
I am very high. I'm going to say a 9.
Holy shit. Okay. All right.
I'd say 8. I'm pretty confident too. I mean, he's already come up short once. He just came up short, you know, in the triple threat. And so I feel like I don't think you can delay it one more month. I think that's, especially I see what you're saying, like build it some more, but like, because the build has been kind of like, it just has felt like something's off. I think you pivot, you definitely do the title win. And then I think there's a couple of directions they could go for the next show, depending on, I'm going to get into a theory I have on one of the other big matches on the show. It could go that way with the winner of that match. Perhaps, you know, you could have MJF coming back. You could have Hangman. Who knows, but we got some contenders lined up, you know, down the line. So what's your number, Justin?
I'd probably be at a 7. I had forgotten about it until you reminded me there is that Hangman aspect to it too. Could he cost Swerve the title if maybe Tony doesn't feel he's quite ready to strap Swerve up? I'm keeping my fingers crossed though. I'm at a 7. I've been working with my son on teaching him, you know, the Prince Nana dance. I think he has it down, both the, you know, the steering, yes, and the other one, the other thing he does. My kid is nailing it. So hopefully he can do that dance at the end of Dynasty.
To your point as well, last month, Justin, with Revolution and the triple threat match, in how, and also Sting's retirement took the focus off of the world championship. So it wasn't the correct time to crown Swerve, even though mm-hmm. We called for it back at Full Gear. It's like, let's put it on him at Revolution. Yeah. But they threw Hangman into the mix, and rightfully so, because that is the money feud, I think, eventually, once we get back to that point. So the time's now.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yeah. I mean, I assume for Vegas, it's one of their signature shows. They won a pretty marquee title match, but at the same time, they're also not running T-Mobile this year. It's a smaller building going back to the MGM. But I mean, that said, I think they got some options and they can have a pretty big title match there. So I think I'll go Swerve. I'm very almost to a 9. I'll say 8. Like I said, I'm pretty confident he's going to win. I can't imagine him coming up short and how they would do that. I think that Joe, again, has been a good champion. I think he's held really steady, but I feel like there's just nowhere for him to go at this point. I think you got to strap up Swerve and see if he's the guy or not. So,
yeah. And I agree. And if it's obvious immediately that he's not, they have lots of options where absolutely they can go.
Absolutely. So with that being in the main event slot, near the end of the show, you would think Will Ospreay and Danielson. This is the one I'm the most excited for on the show. Justin and I were texting the other day on whether or not Brian will use Final Countdown for this match, because he's used it twice, you know, for pretty big matches in the past. This is a really big one. I would love to hear him come out to Final Countdown again.
And my point to you was, when you brought that up, was they used it for a dream match against Okada, and they used it at All Out, which felt like it needed that kind of juicing up for the show. And it feels like this match and this show kind of fits both those bills. you know, that we get the dream match and it could maybe use a little bit of oomph just because of, you know, before this most recent Dynamite of how lackadaisical the build had been.
Mm-hmm. And I will say one of the things on TV, despite it being kind of up and down, that has held steady is Will Ospreay. Like, he just continues to feel like he's the guy. Like, he is the guy you build around long term. As we have been saying, he can be a global star. He's got the moves that trend on social media. The guy's money all around. He seems real in his promos. It doesn't feel mm-hmm. like he's acting. And I mean, yeah, I mean, logically, Wembley feels like where it will happen. Perhaps we'll see. But I mean, what else can you say about the match? I loved his match with Claudio last night. That match was phenomenal. These guys, you know, you got Brian also working on Collision this week, the night before the match. So, I mean, I was a little surprised by that, by the way. Were you guys surprised of that Collision match being announced like the 24 hours before this big match?
Both Collision matches, which are just kind of a smorgasbord of the individual matches we're going to get.
Yeah, that was odd booking to me. I was like, geez, let these guys rest a little bit. But mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, hell of a match on Dynamite this week. And I'm sure this one will exceed it, being in there with one of the greatest of all time and Bryan Danielson. Now, as far as the winners go on this, I would say I'm more confident in Swerve winning than Ospreay.
Oh, see, I'm different. I am very confident in Ospreay winning.
See, this is where I see that this could maybe go. Because of what's happening with the Don Callis situation and how, like, Will walked out on them and everything. Them, like, trying to help him win, and it costs him the match, and that gets him out of the Callis family. I could see that happening. Look, Brian loses a ton of big matches. You know, the guy, it seems like when he's in a big match, he almost always loses. And I feel like that could be something that happens. It gives him an out. You give Brian a big win. Maybe Brian challenges at Double or Nothing then, coming off of this big win. He's a marketing
man. That's not a bad idea at all, you son of a bitch.
I mean, he's in the last year of his career, supposedly. Yeah. So if you get like Swerve and Brian Danielson, a Double or Nothing out of
this. Yeah, and I suppose, you know, once you get past that, you get Will his win back against Danielson leading into All In. Cause that was kind of my big question, is this going to be a one and done, or is this, mm-hmm. you know, could this possibly be a trilogy over the spring and summer between Danielson and Ospreay?
Or I call my shot like I did last year and we go with the rematch Ospreay Danielson at All In. Swerve wrestle someone else.
Yeah. Could do that. Wouldn't complain. That's for sure. I want him to get away from the Callis family as soon as possible. God. I don't need to see Don Callis on TV ever again.
Amen.
I mean, they're clearly moving in that direction. I feel like this would make it happen fast. You know, he'd be out. He'd be coming after those guys. And he'd have, you know, yeah, I lost to one of the greatest of all time. You guys cost me the match. I could have beat him. They build up for a return match down the line. In the interim, you get Bryan Danielson in a marquee pay-per-view match challenging for the world title. That's kind of the way I could see this going.
Danielson and Swerve had a match in the fall. Danielson won that, correct? Okay. So that could add some intrigue if, you know, if Ryan's scenario plays out, you know, going into Double or Nothing with Danielson, I beat you before very recently. Yeah. So that's not a bad idea before. It does kind of feel a little early to be beating Ospreay, but especially on a big pay-per-view like this, but. I don't know. They can more than,
but he's like all time legend. And then you get the out with what the, you know, cause why, you know, they're teasing this heat. He walks out on them. They've been doing this for a while. It feels like it's building up to something. Jesse.
He's also wrestled everybody in the Don Callis family though. Ospreay has, he's already gone through Fletcher, Hobbs, and of course Takeshita in the debut match. So
true.
I mean, would running it back make sense?
And also, especially when it comes to these dream matches, AEW is not known for like interferences and run-ins. And I certainly don't want any kind of interference in this match when I'm watching it.
I wouldn't either, ideally.
No,
it's
and those
something I can picture happening.
Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned a few shows ago, I'll be quick. The styles between the two are going to mesh extremely well. I can't wait just to see some of the stuff that Danielson's going to counter with. I already know what Will's going to do. I'm very, very curious what Brian's going to do. I mean, he's just going to continue to pull rabbits out of his hat like he always does.
Talking about counters, that counter from the swing on Dynamite against Claudio. Holy shit. That was the thing about that match and those two guys is everything was so crisp and not in an overly choreographed way. It all still felt legit. It all still felt like a fight and whatnot. It was just that both of them are so freaking good. I honestly can't believe they did that match just like less than not even a week before the pay-per-view. Like, give me more of Ospreay and Claudio, please.
Zach Barber in the chat is speaking my language. He says, Ospreay and Danielson is like peak 80s Prince and Stevie Ray Vaughan having a guitar duel. You guys know I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. There you go. I love that reference. Good stuff. Absolutely. Great correlation there.
Well, in my favorite Prince moment of all time is him doing While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Mm,
same.
Oh, my God. That is my favorite live performance of all time.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. George yep. Harrison tribute. Yeah, yep. Amazing. Amazing.
I just thought of something. So Dynasty, of course, is Sunday night, April 21st. That is the 8-year anniversary of Prince passing.
Mm. Oh, damn. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Did I ever tell you guys what I did in one of my classes the day after Prince died?
Huh?
No.
So I showed my classes the Prince Super Bowl halftime show in full the next day. Nice. I showed like a current event show in class to start every day. It was like 10 minutes and they talked about him. And then I just played it. I'm like, you guys have to see this. This is the greatest halftime show of all yep. time. And we just watched it all day long. It was amazing.
And that's coming from, you know, the quintessential Springsteen fan too.
Yeah.
Oh, also,
I mean, here's the thing with Springsteen. I thought this going in, I liked his halftime show a lot. I thought it was really good. But at the same time, how do you condense Springsteen into 15 minutes? Guy who's known for like the marathon concerts. It was tough. He couldn't even do like the full versions of his songs. And he's not someone that usually does that routine like that, like the short, you know, medleys. So I mean, Prince is for sure the best one of all time.
He freaking did Purple Rain in the rain. He wins.
And Justin. And, you know, that was the Super Bowl that this team right here lost. Mm-hmm. And
I was going to bring it up.
That was the Bears Super Bowl. They lost the Colts and still the greatest halftime show of all time. Yeah.
Thank you for being unbiased. But hey, Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff back.
He sure did.
That was a great moment. One great moment in that Super Bowl. Rick checking in the chat. He says, time to reward long-term viewers and people who respect continuity regarding Danielson. He spoils MJF's homecoming at Forbidden Door, never forgetting about the Iron Man match at Wembley. MJF wins.
Not bad.
Yeah.
If they have a promotion versus an inner promotion match, AEW versus AEW, because a lot of them have been hyper focused on the AEW versus New Japan. So, but that wouldn't be too bad.
Our guy Frank might be there this year, since they're not doing Arthur Ashe anymore. You know, he boycotts Arthur Ashe Stadium, but now that it's out in, I believe, Long Island, maybe he'll be doing it.
Number one Yankee fan, Frank.
Well, a guy who's made his presence felt at Forbidden Door in the past, Kazuchika Okada and Pac. Just another one, you know, Continental Championship match on paper, blow away match, should be unreal. I mean, I don't think Okada's going to lose.
Yeah.
So there's not really any intrigue in that regard, but intrigue in how these guys dance between the ropes, gentlemen. Jesse, how are you feeling about this one going in?
I'm very curious, just because Pac hasn't really been consistently performing in the last year and a half. I just heard this morning that I remembered he was the first All-Atlantic champion, and then he lost to Orange Cassidy, and ever since, it's just kind of been a Where's Waldo scenario. So, mm-hmm. I mean, what one thing, there's a bunch of things guaranteed in life. There's death, there's taxes, and Pac getting into 2% body fat when he decides to go hibernate back in England. So I am definitely going to take Okada here. And again, I am of the belief that the Continental Championship is the number two title in the promotion. Kingston did a great job. Okada is going to carry the torch now too.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think, Justin. Yeah,
zero intrigue about the outcome. This is all about what's going to happen in the ring.
Yeah. kind of like, well, actually, you know, before I think the international title had been built up as kind of the number two, you know, for a while there. And now I agree it's taken a step down. And this is something that Jesse, you and Michael Jenkinson talked about on Unplugged, because he didn't really like Roddy Strong as the champion, but you argued perfect champion, workhorse title belt. That one maybe could have a chance of changing hands. You know, you got Kyle O'Reilly fresh back. It depends, you know, how much they want to hotshot that belt, though. That one has a little more intrigue, but also between the ropes is going to be a hell of a match, I think. I was with you in that argument, Jesse. I think Roddy Strong, you know, we've criticized him, the Adam stuff, you know, not a fan at all when he was doing that shit. But as a wrestler, the dude is unreal. And you're getting kind of like throwback Roddy Strong right now in the ring, it feels like, back to what he was, you know, about 10 years ago. So, yeah, I think I would probably pick Roddy to retain, but I think that one has a little bit more intrigue in the finish compared to the Continental title, even if, you know, going back to that belt is maybe taking a little bit of a step back in the, you know, the echelons of AEW gold. But I'm still excited for that one, Jesse.
I also don't think it's his fault, like I mentioned on Unplugged, because he hasn't had any opportunities to defend the championship. So they've just kind of threw it to the back burner. That's kind of what they do with these. Even with the TNT championship, it's like once it's on what they perceive to be the right guy, you'll start to see them every week. But if it's not on the right person, it's going to go back and they're going to shuffle some other stories to the forefront. I don't think you can put the title on O'Reilly at all, at least not right now, because the guy's just coming back from another major injury. So do you trust him to hold a championship and then go, uh-oh, this international title is up for grabs once again because we have another champion injured?
Let's have a tournament. Plenty of
experience with that in the past. Yeah. Yeah, have a tournament. Yeah, I mean, what do you think, Justin?
It's weird. It just feels like one of those matches where it's too soon for both of these guys to lose. You know, Roderick Strong doesn't feel like he's really gotten momentum going. Like, we know he can by being that champion. And, you know, O'Reilly just came back, so it'd be weird if he loses. I think we'll probably see some shenanigans with from whatever that fucking group is called. I'm having a brain fart and can't remember it right now. Undisputed Kingdom or some shit like that.
You nailed it.
Yeah, this is like the epitome of, it's almost like the inverse of Okada and Pac, where I know it's going to deliver in the ring, so there's no intrigue there. It's the intrigue is who's going to win. I would go with Strong because, like I said, I think we'll probably have a run in or something.
Where's Adam Cole in all of this? How's his health? We're looking at 8 months.
So apparently he's not on the road because it was aggravating his recovery. And so now he's not traveling again because just even the traveling was setting him back, they felt. And he's apparently still a ways away from being able to wrestle. So, I mean, yeah, they launched this group with him as like the figurehead and, you know, they switched the title and all of that. And so they used it good there. But yeah, now the guy can't even be on TV. So, of course, the group has felt like nothing since then. It's not out of the question, though. He could appear for a pay-per-view and do something. You know, but I agree. I think probably the group gets involved in the finish. You keep it on Roddy Strong at this point. Let's see. Now, let's talk about Hook and Chris Jericho real briefly. This is the one we said. This could have been on the pre-show. I do like what they did with Jericho and just kind of like leaning into the online criticism of him and everything. You know, but with that said, does he really need to be wrestling on this show? I mean, like, he can do the character stuff. He doesn't have to have a match. Hook, I mean, this guy's really fallen off a lot for me. I'm just not seeing it in him right now. Now, maybe he's young. He's extremely young. He's still turning around. But right now, he doesn't feel nearly as special as he did when he first started. I don't think he should be talking on the mic if they can avoid it. Yeah, I mean, I thought that segment on Dynamite was really the only big weakness on the show. I thought the whole thing was kind of awkward. Not sure why Chris Jericho cares so much about Hook. you know, I don't know. I don't really need to see this on the show. Put it on the kickoff show and we could have skipped it, Jesse. What do you think about how this has played out?
I wonder if he has reoccurring concussions from when his Hook's dad dropped him on his head back in 1996.
I mean, at least they got Taz involved, I guess, but I mean, he kind of looked like a wuss, didn't he? I mean, even afterwards, he wasn't mad. He was like, oh, you know, it's fine. He just got hot. Like, what? Dude made you look like a clown on national TV. You don't care?
Yeah, we can't channel back to ECW Taz for a moment. Like, what would that Taz do? This is not soft, mild Taz. I've heard stories about who he actually is kind of behind the scenes, and he's quiet. He's a little bit angry. So to see him being portrayed as a guy that just seems okay to be shoved down by Chris Jericho doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I thought the whole thing was pretty clunky. Justin, you concur, or are you once again a large Chris Jericho fan now?
Oh, no. I'm kind of torn because I'm not really into either one of these guys right now. You know, I was all about Hook at the beginning, but he's just not quite making the advancements that I had hoped back when he debuted. And with Jericho, we're at that point where I think he's beyond, you know, the Big Show with these heel and face turns. We're like, you can't keep it straight, where it seems like every single year he's having both a babyface run and a heel run. Mm-hmm. Because it feels like we're heading towards another heel run right now, or a heel turn, I should say. And it seems like he just turned babyface. So I don't know. I guess I'll just come down to, I don't really care about this one.
I'm half serious and half joking at the same time with this gentleman, but how many pay-per-view cycles in a row have we said that Chris Jericho needs to take some time off?
It's so funny because, like, yeah, my friend Jay, like, he usually texts me his thoughts on Dynamite the next morning. It was like the first thing he said, perfect card if Chris Jericho wasn't on there. God damn it. It's like, I mean, I agree. 100% agree. This one was like, when they announced the match, I was like, I almost let out an old school Kyle Ross. Oh no. Like, really? Did we really need this match? Just do it on Dynamite next week. Just announce it for next week's Dynamite. We did not need this on the show, and certainly not worthy of a pay-per-view spot. No, not feeling it at all. This is the one. Here you go, Justin. This is the pee break match. Maybe
there it we is. Go. Did you look at your liquor cabinet, Ryan, and go, this fucking guy, Chris Jericho?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. So the two women's matches, guys. Now, Julia Hart had an injury scare recently, but she looks like she'll be fine to go for this match with Willow Nightingale, TBS title. We got that. We got Toni Storm, Thunder Rosa. Julia Hart, she going to drop the title to Willow? What do you guys think?
Doesn't seem like it with the stipulation with house rules. You assume that's going to end up in the favor of Julia Hart. Although, you know, on the flip side, you would think that Willow and Mercedes got to have a match down the road. But even then, they're both kind of your most over baby faces. So that doesn't really make sense. I will go Julia Hart with this one.
Yeah. I mean, it seems Mercedes is calling out Julia now too. So maybe they do that. Yeah. Go ahead, Jesse.
I don't want Willow to be a transitional champion. I don't think that's fair to her at all. So you have to stick with Julia Hart here. I was listening to AW Unrestricted this morning, and Will made the comment that Willow's last couple of losses have been to Julia Hart. So let's just kind of keep that streak going, shall we?
Yeah. How about on the other side? Toni Storm and Thunder Rosa. And they mentioned in the buildup that Thunder Rosa, you know, didn't lose the title before. So it's got some intrigue in that regard. But we also know they're doing this slow build to the eventual Mariah May split with Toni Storm. I think with these three out there, the star is clearly Mariah May. I mean, that's the star in waiting. And we're, you know, I like all of them. But I mean, she's just like next level. Every time she's out there, she's just radiates star energy. You can see like she is one of the faces of this company moving forward. And it's mind-boggling that WWE didn't sign her. Or make their best effort to sign her. So, I mean, I think Tony keeps the title, because you're eventually building up to that. Thoughts?
I guess I'm torn now between the comment you just made and then going back to Jesse's comment about Willow, if she had won, that she'd just be a transitional champion. I think the question comes down to is what's going to be the first women's title that Mercedes goes after? Because you would think it would be at the, you know, the world title, not the TBS title. In which case, you know, I think Tony holds it for a little while longer because I think that's the one that she would go for. And maybe, you know, in that scenario, you can have Willow win the TBS championship. So I'm not convinced on, you know, May yet. I see the things that you see, Ryan, but I think she's a long ways away from, you know, being the women's world champion. So I'm definitely going Toni Storm here. Thunder Rosa's lost any momentum she ever had. So yeah, I a little lost on this one, guys.
She's just getting back from injury and a hiatus too. It's kind of another weird scenario that I'm looking at. I think in the grand scheme of things, Mercedes is the one that they want to carry that women's division. She is bar none the number one face, in spite of the fact that they've really been exactly, in spite of the fact that over the last, I would say, ever since her debut, I mean, in my humble opinion, her stock's been going like this.
Yes.
Agree.
Presentation's not there.
I think she's going after the TBS title. That's the scene she's involved in. I think that's where it's going to happen. I think she's going to win the TBS title from Julia Hart. I don't think she's going to be in the world title pick. I mean, look at the history of that title, though. I mean, Jade had the belt. And, you know, you want to talk about being ready. Like we said for a long time that Jade was this person they could build a women's division around. They never did. They let her walk out the door. Compare with Mariah May. Mariah May is way more advanced in the ring than Jade Cargill is. Like, right now. And Jade's getting, you know, primo time on WWE television right now. So, I mean, I think depending on how long they want to do this stuff with Tony and her being the underling and stuff, I think they get to that. If they wanted to do it in like a month, they could. I don't think they will. I think it'll be a slower burn than that. But it kind of feels like Tony has to have the title the whole time that's the story going on. With her just following her around, doting after her, with her being the champion. I feel like if she's not the champion, it doesn't work quite as well.
It feels like some sort of weird cousin to the Cody Rhodes and MJF dynamic back in, like, what was that, 2019? In which case, you know, MJF eventually turned on Cody, cost him the world title match to Chris Jericho, where he could never, you know, challenge for that world title again. And MJF, we all saw that stardom at that time, but he was still, you know, 3-4 years away from actually winning the championship. And that's kind of where I'm at with Maria May right now. I think it's going to be a little while. I think you really need to cement her as a character on TV with audience members like me. So to me, it comes down to, I think it's going to be Mercedes. That's the title she's got to challenge for. TBS feels more like a Willow one.
With the events coming up on the schedule as well with Forbidden Door, where I'm assuming the AEW World Champion is going to wrestle a stardom opponent. So there's Toni Storm or Mariah May fits the bill perfectly, but now I'm dreaming up a scenario in my head where you crown not one, but two English AEW world champions. And Mariah May is the one that gets crowned at All In as well.
I like it.
Still a ways down the road.
Wouldn't complain. Yeah. And you'll be there, right?
Start the GoFundMe right now. Again, I have a lot of points on this card and I have about 50% of the credit cleared. So,
there you go.
Hey, if Swerve wins this thing and Ospreay continues on the trajectory, I think it's about that time.
I would be so jealous if you went to that show, dude. Yeah, I mean, you would have to do without us a TRN meetup over there with our, it's like 1 in 5 of our listeners are the UK. I mean, you can meet up with all those guys. That'd be great.
Go say hi to everybody. I know Rick, Carl, Liam O'Rourke, who I've never met.
Yeah. Mm. That'd be great.
Stewart's over there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Niall Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep the train rolling. John Hope. I know he's listening right now too, because he's asleep at this very moment. Hi, John. Maybe I'll meet up with you.
I wasn't going to mention names because I knew I'd forget somebody. It's just like, there's a lot of them. They're all active in the Facebook group for the most part. I mean, some of our most loyal listeners, there's going to have to be a meetup in London if Jesse makes it, but that's way down the line. We'll see what happens in the coming months. Who's walking out tag team champions? Justin Joint, put you on the spot on this one.
This feels like a Bucks moment. You know, they lost to Sting. They have these new characters that feel like, you know, a fresh restart for them. Obviously they're down 2-1 in this series. I was a little disappointed to see it was a ladder match. You know, maybe this feud needed that little change to it, to freshen it up. But, this feels like a kind of a no doubt Young Bucks moment for me.
I think when you're about a third of the way through this match, Justin, you're going to completely forget about it and you're going to be so immersed into this thing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be all in for FTR, and then the fucking scapegoat's going to show up, who I'm behind the scapegoat now, but he's going to come in and ruin it for me.
Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going to. I think we see the reemergence of one Jack Perry, and the Young Bucks end up being the 2 or 3-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. And we'll see a fifth iteration maybe the end of the year, sometime next year. Just try to keep them away from each other for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think I agree with what you said about making it a ladder match. I know we've talked recently on the show about how the ladder matches are kind of played out. We don't really get excited for them. That said, I mean, this was the dream tag team match for so many years, and now they've had a few matches. You add that stipulation, a little extra spice to it. I don't mind it. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be phenomenal.
And especially because you hope that there's zero distractions this time, because the first time was COVID. No audience. Mm-hmm. Second time was just on a Dynamite with no build. And third time, as they've tried to jam in into the story, was All In, where they were obviously probably all pretty distracted by what had happened with Punk. So hopefully this is the one where we get their absolute 100% focus. And that's not to say any of the other ones were bad. I think both the 1 and 2 were both exceptional. I'm curious as to see what these two teams will, you know, what rabbits they'll pull out of their hat as far as this ladder match goes.
FTR has something to prove too.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Jack Perry and how he slots in here though? Because like, he gets involved, he goes with the Bucks and all of that. He's a heel. Ideally though, like if he's getting heat, that's because they're cheering for a guy in the other company, right? Like they're pissed at him for a guy who's in another company. Like, is that a little bit awkward?
That is something they're going to have to figure out with television over the upcoming weeks. Cause like my inclination would be to fucking cheer the dude.
Exactly. Like the diehard AEW people should be cheering him at this point. Yeah. They showed the footage, you know, and all of that. I mean, it's just kind of, it's a little clunky in storyline. I think he'll still get booed, but it's just kind of, you know, whatever. But yeah, it makes sense to align him with the Bucks here. And yeah, we'll get him back. And I agree. I'm on the scapegoats train now. Let's see how he can do with another heel run. The last one wasn't great. We'll give him another chance here. See how it goes. Our buddy FTR's Brian got getting that picture with him. Yeah, Brian Koval, that picture he got with him in Chicago, that was pretty sweet. Just randomly running into Jack Perry after the New Japan show. Good stuff.
Full beard and all.
Yeah.
Jesse, what'd you say about FTR?
Oh, I said that they are getting cheered right now. They're in the face scenario, and they've been faces for quite a while now too. And this is not the situation to pull a double turn, because I don't think really one likes the Bucks right now.
No.
Can't would do not that. Work. No, definitely.
So
not.
You just have to cheer Jack Perry, and whether you like it or not, even if he's with the bad guys.
I mean, I would not hate a scenario where Dax is about to climb up the ladder unimpeded, you know, free as a bird to get that tag team championships, and then Scapegoat runs in there and goes to sleep on
Oh my God.
He teased a bunch of CM Punk's moves in that Windy City Riot. I love it. Yeah. I think he should just fucking steal all those moves.
Just make like tights that look just like his too. Why not? All right. So the other matches on the card, I mean, again, in ring, good match. The trios, we got a couple of trios matches here. We've got the winner take all world trios titles versus ROH six man titles match. We got a standard trios match with House of Black and Copeland and Kingston and Briscoe. I think let's just lump them all in together to get through this discussion. Then we'll get to WrestleMania 41. Any big time thoughts that we have on this one at this point in time? I mean, like, do we think the titles are going to, which team, you know, what do we think is going to happen here? Who's going to walk away with the, all the gold in the trios gold match? Jesse, you got any thoughts there?
Who should be Bullet Club Gold? Yet here's what I want. I want those titles as far away from AWTV as possible and defend them on ROH.
No shit.
I think it's just time to own up to the mistake that you made, that you created these trio championships in spite of the fact that they really seemed like a great idea at the time. It's just diluted that tag division.
Watered down the tag division.
I mean, that seems like what they're doing by unifying them here, which is a good thing. Thumbs up. And I think it should be Bullet Club Gold. Those guys are fucking tremendous. And frankly, I don't know if anybody has dropped off, in my opinion, like the Acclaimed have. If you'd go back to All Out, what was that? 22.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus Christ, to go from there to here where I couldn't give less than two shits about them. You know, maybe some of that is because my opinion of Max Caster has changed. I think he might not be the coolest of human beings.
Yep.
And frankly, I you know, I've appreciated Jay White's work in AEW, and God damn it, if I don't just fucking love those gun boys.
That's wild that you mentioned that All Out 22, because I was thinking about that the other day. You had this match on that show later where Punk, the Chicago guy, is challenging for the world title, and yet the match on that show that had the most heat was the Acclaimed match. Like, Jesse, you were there. That was the first show we went to together. That was the match that had the most heat the whole night. It's wild. And yeah, like, now they just seem like an afterthought. I don't know, they have really fallen off, to Justin's point.
I think it has to do with Max Caster, because I don't think there's a person in the world that doesn't love Anthony Bowens. I have a couple of clients that knew who Anthony Bowens was about 5 or 6 years ago, and was like, "This, why isn't this guy on TV?" And here he is. So,
dude, we talked about this on the show. It is freaking nuts. WWE thought they signed him. They like let him leave the tryout, and they're like, "Oh yeah, okay, we signed him." They never gave him a contract. They thought they signed him. Like, all those stories about WWE like forgetting to renew people's contracts and shit. Like, it was during that era, and he tried out, and they thought they signed him, and they didn't. They let him get away. And yeah, this guy is a hell of a worker. Mm-hmm. I think we all really, really like Bowens. But yeah, Caster is beyond just his social media activity. He's just kind of fallen off. I mean, I don't know how long he could keep up doing the raps that pop the crowd, but like, he really fell off.
He was really good with it, and then he opened his mouth outside of it when it came to social media. And by the way, I just realized he wears a black Pittsburgh Pirates hat. So give me a second, would you please?
Jesse was wearing a gold Pittsburgh Pirates hat, if you guys
that is my favorite hat, too. I love Pittsburgh's colors. I'm a huge Penguins fan, too. But yeah, Max Caster, I can't support that guy right now.
Big Iowa Hawkeyes fan, are you?
I don't mind them.
I don't mind them.
As long as they're not the neighbors to the east of me, that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. All right. Yeah. And then the other one, I mean, I'm enjoying the Copeland run. I've said it on the show before. He's having fun out there. Eddie Kingston, we're big fans of him. Mark Briscoe, of course. I think this will be a good match. There's just not really many stakes to it. So, I mean, it's whatever. Any thoughts on that one?
I just hope Malachi eats the pin.
Dead air. I think that's a good bet, actually.
House of Black just are what they are at this point. They can't go any higher on the card, and they likely just can't go any lower, I don't think, either. And is it self-sabotage with that guy that you just mentioned?
Yes, because I would be fascinated to see a Brody King singles run and a Malachi Black singles run, but apparently somebody doesn't want to lose, so that's not in the cards.
Gosh, I want to see. And here I am still wanting to see a Buddy Matthews singles run.
I've told you guys in the past about some issues backstage with him. I mean, months and months ago. And I think we've seen how that's played out with the on again, off again television relationship with him. So, yep. And then, honestly, Trent and Matt Sydal, I don't have any thoughts at all in that match.
That's a thing?
Yep. That is also on the pre-show. Zero. I think absolutely nothing on that.
Perfect summation on Jesse's part.
Trent question mark? That's his name, I think. Yeah.
And did they just announced another match? Cassidy and Shibata against Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty.
Oh, I thought that was a collision match.
That just popped up. Yeah. I just refreshed the card and that is now on there. I think they might have just put it out on social media.
I just refreshed it too. Okay, let's go.
I thought that was a collision match. Okay.
Did they just put her page like a few minutes ago? I'm checking their Twitter right now because this has just popped up on the card net.
Lee Moriarty with a moment of his life pinning Shibata in a tag match?
Right. I was
when I'm streaming, it takes forever for web pages to load.
That's great. I was really hoping for my kid's sake that Orange would be on this card.
You get Shibata too.
Yes.
Ain't a bad thing.
They announced it a little bit ago, a few hours ago. It's up. It's on their social media. So yeah, there you go.
I like all four of those guys personally. I know Lee Moriarty's been a great independent singles wrestler. He's like really good on the mat, like a Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. I'm a Shane Taylor guy. I have to admit that too. And he looks very good when he's in the ring. Just the problem is, I mean, he's been eating way too many pins for anyone to care, which is sad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's Dynasty. I think Justin and I will be reviewing it on Tuesday night next week. So look for a review of Dynasty on our YouTube channel.
Jesse not and invited?
You couldn't do it, right?
Thursday, I can't.
Oh, I mean, we're going to do Tuesday now, Jesse. I can't miss the NFL draft this year. And I don't think you want to miss it either. Because I think you're going to get a Vikings pick earlier than expected. So you don't want to miss that live.
All right, here's the reason why I was going to miss Thursday. So I have a lifelong, we're talking like 15, 20 years of friends worth of friendship going. And of course, it's to watch the NFL draft.
Oh,
so nice. Thank you for making that executive decision to move it to Tuesday because
yes, sir.
There's a whole bunch of fathers involved that we have kids and we don't get to see each other anymore. So it's like, well, this is the perfect opportunity to go grab a burger from Shamrocks and go watch the draft. So nice. I'll see you guys Tuesday night.
All right, there we go. Well, all three of us will be on. And Justin, like you've said, you're looking forward to the NFL draft more than ever this year. I am, for obvious reasons. No intrigue on number one, but number nine, I'm curious what my team's going to do or if they're going to trade back. So that's who I'm hoping on. But yeah, it is. It's going to be a fun draft to watch. There's going to be a lot of moving pieces, and I'm really looking forward to it. I love doing the podcast, guys. I am not missing the NFL draft this year, so we'll come at you earlier than usual next week on Tuesday, and we'll be reviewing Dynasty at that point in time. We have been heavily talking WWE on the pod the last several weeks, almost no AEW discussion, so it was good to talk about that. And then, of course, Tuesday is going to be all AEW unless there's some big breaking WWE news. But before we go tonight, we did want to talk about what's happening with WrestleMania 41. We have been very vocal on the pod that we would like to see it in Minneapolis, Minnesota, for logical reasons. We are all in the upper Midwest. Jesse is in the Twin Cities. The history of wrestling in Minnesota, specifically the Twin Cities, both collegiate and professional wrestling. The fact that US Bank Stadium is arguably the best stadium in the NFL. They've hosted the Final Four. They have hosted the Super Bowl. It makes perfect sense to do it there, but it has not been announced. And in the last several years, WrestleMania has been known by this point in time. And usually it is almost every year, at least a year out, and we still don't have a location. And it's believed that the reason we don't, Jesse, is because of what is going on with minimum wage and Uber and Lyft up there, correct? What's the rundown of what's happening
yes.
with this?
From what I've been told, they moved the decision to July 1st. That is with Uber and Lyft, whether they want to pull their activity going into the city of Minneapolis. I know that they've raised minimum wage in Minneapolis, which is obviously a tremendous thing. However, that also means raising the rates for Uber and Lyft, where they are being stubborn. And when it comes to that, I mean, like I said earlier in on my Unplugged show, is if sorry, I just felt like I had an edible kick in too. So
Justin just sent us a private chat on our stream, which is why I started smiling.
I'm just saying that if they bend the rules for Minneapolis, they're going to have to bend the rules for every major city in the United States. And that's not a precedent that they want to set. So Rick Kobos made that point in our Facebook group weeks ago, and I mm-hmm. think he's right on the money with this one. So that obviously leaves Vegas as the group that, or Vegas as the city that is going to make this bid here.
Yeah, I've been talking with Rick about this too a little bit on DMs, and he's had some great thoughts on all of this. And I mean, this is, I think without that conflict, it's Minneapolis. I think that was the word that was out there. All the politicians were talking about it. They're confident they're going to land it. It's still like, it's not set. They could still get it. There are still people who think it's going to end up there and that they're going to work this out. Apparently, I mean, there was a report on Fightful about this earlier that I'm trying to pull up right now. But there are people in WWE definitely pushing for Vegas. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have it in Vegas. That is also a great stadium, Allegiant. It's, you know, great traveling city. It's usually cheap to fly to Vegas. Tons of hotels, obviously. And I mean, we've all gone to Vegas for wrestling before and had a blast. And if it is in Vegas, I'll probably want to go. I would rather have it here because I can drive 3 hours to go to it. But if it is in Minnesota, I think Vegas is like a lock almost for next year, but that could be pushed up a year because of what's happening here. So nothing has been decided. Let me see if I can pull any quotes from this Fightful report. Justin, how you doing? You got any thoughts on this?
Yeah. I see my bag of popcorn staring at me right across the way. Looks pretty good.
Should we go back to talking about Hook and Chris Jericho?
Oh God, no.
Hey, you can go back and grab that popcorn then.
Oh yeah, good call.
The other thing with this, by the way, is moving the date. So full disclosure, I had actually reserved a hotel room on the weekend. I thought it would be because it's, you know, I didn't have to pay anything up front. I can just cancel it. But I wanted to lock in a room just in case before the rates went up in Minneapolis, in case it ended up there. Even if it does end up there, it sounds like going to have to get it for a different weekend because they have been talking about moving WrestleMania to later in April. They've even discussed having it in May at some point in time, which would open up a lot of new venues that are mm-hmm. in like colder cities, but it's warmer in May. So then maybe you could do an outdoor Mania in a northern city too again and not run into the issues they had in Philadelphia. But they don't want to go head to head with the Final Four again like they did this year, which they have also had happened numerous times in the past, but apparently this is a Nick Khan thing. They don't want to be on Final Four weekend again. And so like it could end up, I think it's around like April 13th ish next year. I think the week after that is Easter. So it wouldn't be that weekend. And then you're getting close to May. So it could be like mid April next year. I guess the other option would be moving it up to March too. I mean, there's been numerous Manias in March, but yeah, I mean, nothing is decided. I guess basically the Fightful report, it didn't really say much beyond there's people in the company pushing for Vegas. People in Minnesota still think that they're going to get it. And yeah, Jesse, did you have something?
Well, I was going to look into this as well. It looks like Uber and Lyft pay 81 cents per mile. And when it comes to what Minneapolis is trying to do with this ordinance is to bump it up to $1.40 per mile for the drivers. You're looking like a 75-80% increase per mile.
Okay.
That's pretty significant. So that's what the big hubbub is at this moment. I mean, makes all the sense in the world that they're fighting this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote from Fightful. They said, as noted this week, Nick Khan said that WrestleMania likely would not be returning to an outdoor Northeast location after the cold weather associated with this year's show. However, if they are to go through with Minnesota, we're told many options have been discussed. As far as dates and everything. So it still could happen. Nothing is confirmed at this point in time. WWE is reportedly not decided. And so, yeah, they just go on to say WWE sources have repeatedly stressed that the location isn't official until announced. So we'll see, Jesse. It's not dead. It could still happen, but we got to get this rideshare situation figured out. You talked about an unplug, though. I mean, beyond Uber and Lyft, everyone likes having Uber and Lyft because it's so convenient, but you have really good mass transit up there. Yes, we did, you know, operate before Uber and Lyft. Traditional taxis are still around.
They're going to make a comeback.
But I mean, look, you got other options up there, too. And so, you know, it could still happen, I think. It's not dead. I'd say the odds of it happening up there seem much lower than before. I will say that, but it's not.
I'll turn into all of my own friends' personal Uber and Lyft service for that weekend.
Yeah. Well, if I can't get a hotel, Jesse, I'll just crash on the floor at your place or something. Sleep in your parking lot. Bring up a tent. Who knows? Pitch a tent, Justin.
Hello.
Now you need a match.
I know
that
you're
makes
in
you
a mindset where that
midnight.
Might pop you. Yeah, there you go. All right, guys. I think that's all I got. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we hit the road here?
Just shout out John Moxley, our new IWGP world champion.
Hell yeah. You know, I would be a much bigger John Moxley fan than I already am. I love the guy, but I'd be an even bigger fan if when he had come out with that title belt on Wednesday on the opening segment, he would have looked at it and threw on that piece of shit in the garbage can and said, where's that old title belt? Get rid of this Divas title looking thing. Jesus.
Anything would be better than what the current world championship is. Holy shit. Get rid of that.
Dude. I mean, for how many times we have bashed WWE's title belts, all looking the same, the big logos and everything. I don't think that there has ever been in my mind, anything that I can think of more of a regression in a championship belt design going from the old IWGP title, which is arguably probably, I'd say top three title belt of all time with the Winged Eagle and Big Gold.
An obvious major influence on the AEW world title design.
Going from that to this is real bad. Come on, John, you got some power. Bring it back. Do something, please.
Exactly. Yeah. We got Moxley, you got Hangman, you got Christian Cage not on this card, and there's a Chris Irvine that is.
Unfortunately.
And for anybody who isn't aware, Moxley, the first ever WWE World Champ, AEW World Champ, and IWGP World Champ.
Yes, indeed.
In the same arena where he won his first AEW World title, Wintrust.
Did we just have someone on our Twitter page who had said that John Moxley was effing trash, and I like quote tweeted it and was making fun of the guy. And now he is a world champion yet again. Imagine not liking John Moxley. I am sorry, but you cannot deny how good this guy is. Does he bleed a little bit too much sometimes? But look, this guy has he has toned it down. This guy has succeeded everywhere he has gone in the wrestling business. He's succeeded in his personal life to a high level as well.
What's that reference to?
You know what's in reference. How do you not love John Moxley?
Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story one more time. It's only gonna take 10 seconds. I met Jim Ross at the bar that's connected to the Wintrust Arena, speaking for 10 to 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden in walks Rene Paquette, stops, shakes JR's hands, flashes me a smile. I melt and turn around and start drinking again.
I wish I could put like GIFs on the screen right now. I could just imagine you're like, oh my God, just like fanning yourself.
Outside of Brandi Rhodes, who might be the prettiest woman in terms of professional wrestling that I've ever seen up close and personal, I think Rene Paquette is right there.
Yeah. I met JR one time. He gave me some free beef jerky. I don't know if he still makes that, but yeah, he gave me some meat.
Snap into it, Justin.
I was with a buddy. I was with a buddy who knows him pretty well, and JR was like signing autographs for people, and we were at the same event, and we were just kind of hanging back, and we went up to him, and my buddy Brian's like, "Yeah, I want you to meet Ryan here," and he shook my hand, and JR was just selling these little bags of jerky to these guys in front of us, and you know, taking money for pictures and stuff. He just like tossed me a bag. He's like, "Here, you want some of that? You can take it." Like those guys just had forked over cash for it. It's like, "Here you go. You know Brian here? Here you go. Here's some beef jerky." All right. It's fine, man. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
By God, he got jerky from JR.
This guy's like, "Wait just a goddamn second. What happened here? I just gave you $15 for this." Oh, JR, we love you. And also Top Rope Nation veteran, Jim Ross. Interviewed him.
That's right.
Years later. It's been a while. All right, boys, this has been a blast. It's been a while since we did a flagship because we were so busy over Mania weekend. We took last week off, but we had put out like 3 shows in 5 days or something. So, and we had classics drop too, 3 hours on Mania 18. So join the Patreon, listen to Mania 18. You'll like it. Listen to the full archives of almost 150 Patreon bonus shows. We appreciate everyone who makes this show possible. Without Patreon, we would not be doing this anymore. So all of you, definitely make it happen each and every week. We appreciate you. Looking forward to Dynasty. We'll be talking about it on Tuesday. Any parting thoughts, gentlemen?
Swerve when I pod.
Nice. Jesse, I'm going to have to overlay the actual theme when you were singing that earlier. I got to mix that into the pod now. So if you are listening to the pod, I hope you enjoyed that. It took some work.
If I didn't butcher the second line in it, I've heard that song a lot the last couple of months, probably in my top 10 rotation on Spotify, and I'm not kidding you either. So I'm hoping Top Swerve Nation t-shirts drop in the next couple of weeks too.
Come on, Tim Jensen. Make that design, buddy. All right, guys. This has been fun. We hope you all have a good weekend. Enjoy Dynasty. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Take care, everybody.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen. Touchdown! Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.